Blog Talk Radio.
It's show time. Reverend Ray. Reverend Ray, where art thou? No. Seems like we're having some technical difficulties, so listen to our wonderful theme song, which is called Crimson Fly. It doesn't have anything to do with dogs, but it's a really cool song, and we're going to see if we can get Reverend Mike to work.
Miss Renee?
All right, there you are, Reverend.
All righty, so let's go again. Welcome to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You. And CAGDU is a show that tells you about what is a guide dog, where you get a guide dog from, when you get a guide dog, why you get a guide dog, and how you get a guide dog. And I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And the show is sponsored by CAGDU, Capital Area Guide Dog, Inc. And our announcer is Miss Renee. How you doing today, Miss Renee?
Reverend, a little concerned that you weren't going to be able to show up. You know, technology is great when it works, but when it doesn't.
Well, so, Miss Renee, I don't pay you the big bucks for nothing. You just jump in and take over. And we'll talk about the terms of big bucks at the next staff meeting. All right, Miss Renee. So, a lot going on this week with the National Federation of the Blind having their virtual convention for the second year. And they got like over 100 and some different sessions. I know they're not going to be able to do that in person next year in New Orleans, which I hope to be there. But anyway, Miss Renee, this heat, they was going to have it in Houston, Texas this year. Can you believe that with this heat? So I guess a good thing
wow.
They did have it virtual. So, Miss Renee,
yes.
What is our show lineup for today?
Well, we always start with stop dogging us around, the good, the bad, and the ugly of using a guide dog. And in our second half, we take a look into Charlie's Corner. And our guest, the first impression of the Seeing Eye Dog Guide School is often the voice of Mary Manwaring. She directs callers to the right department. But today, we take Mary from behind the switchboard and put her into the CAGDU radio guest chair. So that's our show. Back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All right, and we look forward to that interview. And stop dogging us around, good and bad and ugly, or having a guide dog. Well, there's a lot of good, that's for sure. But right now, those who live in this sun belt or this heating I don't think the guide dogs think it's a good thing because they do. You have to take them out, and when they hit that heat, believe me, I have no problem in telling Raven, my guide dog, come on back in the house. Believe me, they dragging me back in there to get to that air condition. But stop dogging me around. The bad is this, what we're dealing with as guide dog users. They have an act called the Carrier Act, and I'll have someone come on and explain the whole thing to you. But basically what it's saying, a person with a guide dog, if they want to travel on the airlines, and this not all airlines now, which I think they're going to adopt it, and the sad and the most destructive thing about it, some organizations and companies and stores and stuff might use this, but the act basically says this. If you're going to use an airline and have to take a flight, you have to let the airlines know within 48 hours. You got to fill out all these crazy forms. I think it's 2 or 3 pages. I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to get more information on it. And the thing about it, that's a bad thing because what if you have to have an emergency where you have to go someplace, you know, within 24 hours, an emergency happened, a family member situation happened. You don't have 40, so that means you leave your guide dog, then you get, you know, and then not only that, say that you've gone someplace, you've done the 48-hour thing, you went to Las Vegas, whatever, you know, and you hit for $1 million. Well, you don't want to wait 48 hours to come back home, do you, Ms. Renee? You want to come back home. If you're going to come back home, you want to come back home like the next day. So anyway, this is a bad, bad thing. And I know the National Federation for the Blind is fighting this thing. And I know CNI is putting some information out on it. And they working with the airports and at least trying to encourage the guide dog, all the guide dog groups and all throughout the country to look at this because it's really going to put a burden on those who use guide dogs. I mean, like myself, sometimes when I used to travel, I have to go to more than one city or state within, you know, 3-4 days, and that don't give me time to do a 48-hour thing. And sometimes if that plane might, that you know, that the airline necessarily might not be able to accommodate you, so you have to go to another airline. So then, you know, 48 hours away. So anyway, that's a bad thing for people using guide dogs right now. But that's something that we will to overcome. It's just a thing that we'll deal with. But anyway, that is the good and the bad and the ugly of using a guide dog. Back over to you, Ms. Renee.
Well, the voice that greets callers at Seeing Eye Guide Dogs, our guest, Mary Lynn Waring. And today we've taken her from behind the switchboard and put her into our guest seat. So welcome, Mary.
Thank you for having me. I'm all excited.
Well, thank you for agreeing and CNI agreeing because we know that about this time, if somebody calling, you'll hear Mary answer the phone and say, who you want me to give you to? Well, not give you to, but who you want me to contact you with. So, Mary, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to where you are, and, I mean, well, a little bit about yourself, and we'll dissect your life.
Yeah, definitely. We'll unpack it. I'll give you a quick overview and we'll unpack it. I was born and raised in New England.
Oh.
I went to public schools. When I was in high school, I took a business administration course. So after high school, the first job I received was working in an elementary school office as a secretary's assistant. From there, that was on a grant, so when the grant ran out, then I went to work at a local hospital in the radiology department as a darkroom technician, but I also did medical transcription. I had taken some medical transcription courses, and so I was able to do medical transcription. And then I took a job with AT&T briefly. I had to resign that job because my mother was in poor health at that time, so I came back to take care of her. Mm. And then I took another course to be able to teach the Microsoft suite of programs, web page design, various types of software for blind people. You know, like back then it was like Zoom Text,
right.
JAWS, Window Eyes, Kurzweil, Open Book, that kind of thing. And I actually was going to go and open my own business. But in the meantime, I received a couple of email blasts from Seeing Eye because I had already been affiliated with them. I'd already gotten a couple of Seeing Eye dogs by then, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But so I decided, well, I'd pray about it and see what the Lord was leading. And because I didn't really want to leave New England. I love New England. And still very involved up there with the various sports teams and all that. So I didn't want to leave, but I wanted to do what the Lord wanted. So he told me, I know you can go into business. That's a good thing. You're a good teacher. I had already been involved in teaching as far as Vacation Bible School, and I was a director 1 year of Vacation Bible School, and that's another whole exciting area. And then, so he said, but I want you to move to New Jersey. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you're in charge. and my family was like, are you bonkers? I mean, like, you know, you're moving down. You don't know anybody down there. I said, well, no, that's not really true. I know people at Seeing Eye. So I said, that's not really true. So I followed his lead and came down here. I've been now I'm a five-time graduate of Seeing Eye, but I've been employed at the Seeing Eye for over 15 years now. And I love it. So so that's a quick overview.
Okay, so then we will unpack. So let me ask you, was you born blind by accident or what?
I was premature. I was supposed to arrive sometime in June, and I arrived in late March. And I was a twin. I was the oldest
twin.
And
wait
the
a minute,
miracle
Mary,
of it.
Mary, one moment. Believe it or not, within the last, since we've been doing this show, you are the fifth set of twins that we didn't have on this show. That's one is blind, and now is your other twin, are they still living, and are they blind or sighted?
No, it was a sister and a little rascal. She lived 3 days and went to heaven without me.
Oh, whoa, wow.
Before me, without me, but before me.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. That is interesting.
Wow.
Did they name her? I guess they did name her, right?
Yeah, her name was Rose Marie. Yes.
Rose Marie.
And she, I think, would have been blind as well.
Oh, okay. That's what.
At that time, Mary, they did not discover until later that putting preemies into an oxygen-rich environment oftentimes affected their eyesight. Was that the situation with you?
It was. Back then we called it RLF, retinolinear fibroplasia. Now I think they call it ROP, which is, what is that, retinopathy of prematurity?
Right.
And the miracle of the whole thing was I was only a pound and 11 ounces.
Wow.
Oh, not even two. Wow.
So now my sister,
were they concerned about you? Were they concerned
about
you?
Well, they didn't even know my mother was going to have twins until she delivered.
Huh? She was hiding it from people. She didn't know.
I think they only detected one heartbeat. And,
is that right?
Yeah, and so my sister, I think, weighed a little bit more. She was either 2-something or 3-something. So I was older than her, but I don't know by how much. But I was definitely the little feisty one.
Isn't that
wow?
Now, Murray, do you have any other siblings?
I do. I have. There were actually 4 girls with me and my twin sister and 3 boys. So there were originally 7 of us.
Oh, that's a nice size family, special for in New England. Oh,
and they were all sighted except for my sister.
I'm sorry, Mary. Go ahead, Ms. Renee. The delay oftentimes makes it sound like that. So where are you in the birth order?
I had two older brothers and two older sisters. I have one brother that's younger than me.
Okay.
But since then, now my oldest sister has passed on and my middle brother has passed on. So there's only four of us left.
Well, you know, we're right up against the break. But I do want to ask you, how did your family handle your blindness? What is it like having sighted siblings and a blind sibling? And how did your parents handle that? And how did the siblings handle that? But we're up against the break, and so I'm going to go right into that. You are listening to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You. And CAGDU stands for Capital Area Dog Guide Users. We are located in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., but we serve Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. The information we share is for guide dog users everywhere. And back to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our guest, Mary Mann Waring.
Yeah, and every time we hear that music, that's a break, Mary, and that means that Reverend Ray have to go in his pocket and pay bills. Okay. So Mary, getting back to what we were asking you, how did your family respond to your blindness?
Well, back then, people didn't talk about it. You know, that was one of those hush-hush things. And my family didn't handle it well. There were some of my family who thought my mother should have put me in an institution. There were siblings who thought, in fact, my oldest sister, not long before she passed away, had mentioned to me, she said, I got to tell you, she said, we're so proud of you as a family. She said, I thought we would never be able to, you know, let you go more than 10 feet out of our sight. He said, and she said, and here you are doing all these things. So my family did not handle it well.
And they wonder why you moved from New England? No, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
They were very reluctant to let me travel independently, to let me, you know, cook or do any of the daily living things that people normally do. And I actually grew up hearing all the time, well, you can't do that. You're blind. You can't do that. You can't.
Wow.
And I, like I said, I'm the feisty one. So I was like, yes, you know, you guys aren't going to be around forever, and I need to learn how to do this, and I will do it. And so I think that was one of the things that drove me actually to be a Christian.
I guess you had to, or you would have become, a serial killer.
The Holy Spirit led, of course, but I had just gotten so sick of it, of being told you can't, and finally I just came to the end of myself one night, and I'd been listening to Billy Graham crusades and stuff, and I just got down on my knees and said, Lord, I've had this stuff. I'm tired of it. The blindness is just, you know, it's too much. And I said, so, you know, I know you came to earth to die for my sins and take that penalty, and I now accept you as my Savior in my heart and you know, receive your forgiveness. And that was it. And then my life turned around.
So, you say you did go to public school. So
did you
have friends in public school, and did they accept your blindness, or how did you interact with them, or did they let you participate in activities?
My parents actually wanted me to go to public schools. They didn't want to put me in a school for the blind because as much as they were overprotective, they still wanted me to live as normal a life as possible, which is kind of weird because they were working against each other in that respect, you know, two different ideas. But people in public schools accepted me. There were a lot of blind people. I grew up in Connecticut, so there were a lot of blind children in schools there, and they had teachers come in to like transcribe Braille, and I learned Braille when I was six. So, they it was very well accepted, and I did activities just like any other kid. That's how I started to learned to love sports because, you know, I played softball in phys ed, and of course we didn't have beatball back then. Boy, could I have had fun with that.
Okay, my mother was a softball player. Now, she was a pretty sturdy girl, so she didn't do a lot of running, but she could hit that ball. Now, I never played because I couldn't see the ball well enough. How did you play softball? Was it adapted softball, or you played typical softball?
We played softball, but they used a soccer ball for me. So they bounced it so I could tell where it was, and then, man, could I hit that thing and around the bases. And so it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I think actually thinking about now how they have goalball and beat baseball and everything,
yeah.
I'm like, wow, they should have done something like that back then. I could have played that. Maybe they could have done something with hockey pucks, and I could have, you know, done hockey. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, Mary, for those of us who are unenlightened about the beatball, the current beatball has a sound in it, so blind and low vision people can hear it and play with their peers. It doesn't have to be any more adapted than that. But I am curious, how did you get around the bases? Or did you have a designated runner?
No, I actually, the phys ed teacher would run me around the bases.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Whereas now they have a signal on first base and a signal on different bases how you can run now because Reverend
Logan
played a little beat ball. So that's really, really interesting.
Okay.
Another
thing that I did get into was if my mother ever knew, I think she'd have a heart attack. She, I got into gymnastics when I was in school. It started even in elementary school. I mean, I loved the unparalleled, the uneven parallel bars. I loved the rings, the balance beam, that kind of stuff. And then I did go to the Carroll Center for the Blind later. Like in my 30s or so.
Okay.
And I took their fencing course, and I loved fencing, like, touche!
In our society, they probably would have said, no, we're not going to let her do gymnastics. But how did you adapt? No, they would. But how did you adapt to the uneven parallel bars, and what kind of instructor did you have that was – urging you on to do that? That is amazing in and of itself.
Well, I had spotters. Of course, you're supposed to have spotters anyway, I think. And so and I could feel where the bars were, and I would do all kinds of stunts on those uneven parallel bars. I love that stuff.
Wow.
I don't think I'd want to do that now, but, you know.
No.
Well, back then, we're fearless. We don't know. We don't know any better.
That's right.
No, we don't know any better.
But also, besides gymnastics, and as you said, you are a sports woman, you also took up swimming. Tell me how you did that.
I took lessons from the Red Cross. So, actually, it was a lifeguard that gave me lessons in the pool. And I liked that. I also went bowling and did, I did duck pins because I was in elementary school then. So I didn't get into the bigger balls and that kind of thing. But I loved to bowl, though, too. That was fun.
And CNI has a bowling alley, right? Does CNI have the bowling alley?
It's actually a storeroom.
Okay.
They call it the reason it's called the bowling alley is because it's shaped like one. It's a long, narrow room. Yeah.
Mary, what would you say to two types of people? One, a parent who has a child who's blind or low vision, about encouraging them to be involved in sports. The attitude of the general public is so different now. We have so many advocates for blind and low vision parents, but it doesn't change a parent's heart, because even with a sighted child, you're always so fearful that they're going to hurt themselves and that they're going to overextend themselves. What advice would you give to a parent with a child who's blind or low vision that wants to try their hand at sports?
Let them try it. They really need to live as normal a life as possible. The blindness isn't really, you know, it's more of a, it's only a hindrance if you let it be a hindrance. You gotta, blindness doesn't define, like my blindness does not define who I am. And so therefore, I just, you have to think outside the box and you have to just, you know, if kids want to try it, you know, let them try it because there are ways today, and they'll have so much fun. I mean, I just absolutely love sports. And I go, actually, even with the seeing eye, they take their puppies to the Somerset Patriots baseball games that they're in the Independent League. And they take them to the Devils hockey games, and I haven't been to the baseball games, but I have been to the hockey games, and that is so much fun. And I've had people tell me, and actually, I'll get back to that again in a second, but years ago, I went to Fenway Park when I was up in New England, and I saw the Red Sox play a doubleheader. And, you know, I've had people say to me, well, how can you tell what's going on? You can't see what's going on. I said, yeah, that's right, but... I said, you go by the crowd, and I could uh-huh. cheer right along with the crowd. And now what I do if I go to games, I take my Bluetooth headphones and listen to the broadcast of it. And it is delayed, but it's not a problem because you still follow the crowd, and you can hear, you know, what's going on. And so I just had a blast at the hockey games. And so I did become, because everybody still teases me about rooting for New England teams. And they say, well, you're down here now. You should be rooting for the New York teams and the New Jersey teams. And I said, I'll root for the Devils until they play the Bruins. And then I'm a Bruins fan. And Yeah, I just love it. And I even took my dogs one time on a sleigh ride, on an one-horse sleigh ride, a horse-drawn sleigh. And it was so cute because the horse – now, my dog was not a talker. None of my dogs have been talkers. They might if they're playing, you know, with their toys, but they're not talkers.
Right.
But the dog and the horse got into a conversation. I'm not kidding. And I think they were comparing jobs. That's what I think.
Yeah, I want to take the idea of the sports a little further. You said if a kid wants to try it, we need to let them. But let me come at it from a different point of view. Sometimes I have a friend who teaches, and she has a mother come in with an infant to teach the children empathy. She said, because so many of these children either are last children or they are only children and they haven't developed empathy. Do you think, in your opinion, that there needs to be some prep work to get other students ready for a blind student, or just let the chips fall where they may?
I think you just have to let the chips fall where they may and let everybody work it out. It's difficult, and I know, you know, growing up in a society who thought blind people were worthless, they can't do anything, that kind of stuff, you know, all that does is just drive with me. It just drove me on to say, yes, I can, and this is, you know, you watch me, and this is how it's going to get done, you know, and because I had so many people tell me, well, you know, you can't learn to type. Your hands are too small. You can't teach yourself to play guitar, you know. And I did, and I played clarinet, and went into nursing homes and schools, and actually a quartet that I was part of in my church. We'd go into state and local prisons when I was up in New England and give concerts for the inmates and that kind of thing, and bring my dog, you know, and 'cause I used her to guide, and it was fantastic, you know, and so...
Wait a minute, Murray. You say prisons and stuff in New England. I thought all them people in New England was heavenly bound. we're going to go for a break and come back. You're listening to
New Jersey.
Dude.
I too relocated.
Oh, that was relocate. Oh, okay. You listen to CAGNU about your dog and you, sponsored by Captain or your guide dog, Users Inc. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and we're going to come back with our special guest, Ms. Murray, the operator at CNI Guide Dog School. She must probably, I guess Murray probably been talked to and spoken to every guide dog user in the last 10 or 15 or 20 years, because they had to call their gleaming for one reason or another. Ms. Renee, no guide dog person receive a guide dog, go home, and you never hear from them again. That just don't happen. So anyway, we'll be back on the other side of our bump out and bump in. Mr. Day.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in the Tacoma Park neighborhood of Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. Now, if your dog needs it, they more than likely have it. They have door-to-door deliveries in the DMV. That's the District, Maryland, and Virginia. Sorry, New Jersey, we can't bring it that far. But give them a call at 202-747-3434. 202-747-3434. And back over to Reverend Ray for a look into Charlie's Corner.
Yes, and look into Charlie's Corner, our formal charter co-host Charlie Crawford, who passed last year, September, and we just had the black cover over his microphone now for almost a year, and his special segment will be Charlie's Place, Charlie C. Information coming to and from the DMV, where he will give us information of what's going on. I'm just going to give a quick two things. One, the National Federation of the Blind is holding their convention this week, and they're in Saturday, and then the American Council of the Blind will start their national convention that also will be by Zoom next week. And both guide dog organizations are talking about some items, so you can please just go to the website and check them out. The other thing that D.C., you know, we got a guide dog service animal bill passed in Maryland that was signed by the Governor Hogan in May 2 months ago, and we're going to be working on one in D.C. Believe it or not, they do not have a service protection bill or guide dog bill. So we're going to be putting together a committee and working on that. But the other thing is that we've been saying that we can't replace Charlie as a co-host, but we're going to have someone else come in. And in September, we will be having come in as a guest co-host, and all of these we're trying out and see how they go. She's been a guest on the show, Miss Wendy. How you pronounce Wendy's last name, Ray?
Sherrod.
Miss Wendy Sherrod. I guess I need to know that. She has been a guest on our show. She's the woman that wrote the books on her dog. And so she's going to be a guest host on. She's going to be on every second Friday of the month. And she lives in Philadelphia, and God knows she is a Philadelphia Eagles football fanatic. I mean, I think if you cut her, she bleed Philadelphia. So you're here. So we'll have a lot of fun with her with that. So we'll start that first show being September the 2nd Friday. All righty, and this segment is brought to you by the Silver Springs Chapter, ACB, American Council of the Blind, and the president is Pat Sheehan, which we had him as a co-host a couple of times on the show, and we'll give you more information about them, but you can go to our website and see when they meet and all that. And everything. So they've been sponsoring Charlie's Corner So Ms. Wendy's will have a segment called Wendy's Way. The way Wendy does her way is going to be called Wendy's Way. So that should be interesting. So, and this is brought to you, this segment, about real-time pain relief. Because if you, a guide dog user, and Murray can tell you, when you get your first guide dog and you got to walk that dog and everything, you will have some pain. Believe me, I don't care how in shape you think you are. So this is brought to you by Real time pain relief. The best smelling, most effective, real time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on and the pain is gone. All right, Ms. Renee, back over to you and give our special guest a formal introduction again.
Well, when something runs smoothly, we don't often think about how it happens, but Mary Manwaring's voice directs people to the right department or the person they need to talk to when they call Seeing Eye. But she's also a guide dog user. So, Mary, you said that you had actually gotten your dog, your guide dog, from Seeing Eye before you started working there. What motivated you to get a guide dog?
Well, you know, I used a white cane before that, and that's fine. And those people that like to use white canes, that's perfectly fine. But a white cane made me feel blind. And it actually, it, because, you know, as you're moving your cane in an arc, I felt like, okay, you're kind of groping to see what's out there, you know. So, but with a dog, you just walk right down the middle of the sidewalk and you know, zoom right along. My speed had picked up a lot since I started using guide dogs. In fact, I've had a lot of sighted friends say, you can either wait for me at the corner or slow down because I can't keep up with you. And so if I want to carry on a conversation, sometimes I'll put my dog at heel and I'll go sighted guide and walk with the person. They just can't keep up.
Right, right.
And you need to explain to people who aren't familiar with sighted guide what that actually means.
That term.
You take the person's arm right by the elbow, or just above the elbow, and they're your leader. So they have to stop at the curbs and so the dog is not leading if you're going sighted guide and you're healing your dog. So, and some people are really good at it, and some people are not.
Right, right, right. Then you realize you need the cane or the dog. So, Murray, in turn to getting introduced to using a dog, did you just know other blind people that had dogs and you just observed how the dog assists them, or you heard a presentation from CNI, or how did you come to know about dogs?
You know, I don't know how I knew about Seeing Eye. I did know one person that had a dog. She was a rehab teacher when I was living in New Hampshire, because I moved from Connecticut to New Hampshire in the early 60s. And so having had pet dogs all my life, I was just a dog person. And so I don't remember how I heard about Seeing Eye, but I just knew that I had to apply and you know, hopefully they would take me, and they did.
Well, did you apply to more than one school, or saying that was the school?
I did put a application in with Fidelco, because Fidelco and Seeing Eye were the only ones that I knew of at that time.
Okay.
I wasn't living in Connecticut then, so I knew that, you know, it was going to be Seeing Eye that was going to answer my application, because at that time, Fidelco was only serving people from Connecticut.
Okay.
So, Mary, take us back to your training. You get there, you're excited, you know you want this dog, and what happens? You get to Seeing Eye. Give us a little bit of the orientation and what happened and when you got the dog, and was the first dog a good fit for you?
Oh, the first dog was an excellent fit. She was a sweet little yellow lab, and her name was Silky, and I used to call her Silky Soft because she had such velvety ears. And she was a sweetheart. And I can't – the feeling, that exuberant feeling of just being able to walk freely and fast – I mean, like, I loved it. It was, I felt so independent. And, of course, I had to tease Seeing Eye because the, and they haven't really improved that much since I've been here, but I used to tease Seeing Eye about the sidewalks in Morristown because they have some real toe catchers in those, on those sidewalks, I'll tell you.
And, they do what on the sidewalk?
Toe catchers, really big cracks in the side that you've got to step up over and stuff. Yeah.
Hey, Renee, remember that's how I got that ankle. What's it called?
When you twisted your ankle?
You remember I hurt? Yeah, where I twist my ankle
and had that. Right.
Yes, that's what she means. They are treacherous.
Okay.
Well, actually, when I got my first dog, Silky, I actually tripped on Maple Avenue. And bruised my knee, like all the ligaments and tendons and stuff in there. And so I could barely put any weight on that leg. And so I had to go home and let it heal and then come back. And, you know, and they were trying to, seeing I was so good, they were trying to reassure me, oh, we'll hold Silky for you. And I was so upset. Like, no, you won't. You'll give her to somebody else. But when I came back to get Silky, the interesting thing, when I came back again to finish my training, Silky remembered that I had fallen. And she remembered how slow I was moving because I couldn't put any weight on that leg. And she started off at that real slow pace, and I'm like, oh, we can pick it up now, sweetheart. I can move again.
Wow.
Aren't they wonderful? They're very adaptable.
Oh, they are so intelligent. They are so intelligent.
Yeah.
Okay, now you said Silky was your first one, and what is your current dog? And how do you, as a guide dog user, adapt to new dogs and new personalities?
Yeah, they have been they've been similar, but they've been different because each dog is, you know, they're like people. They all have their little personalities, and my current dog is, her name is Oriole, like the bird, or like the Baltimore Orioles. Except I'm not I'm not an Orioles fan though. I'm still New England, so. Still the Red Sox, you know. Although I like the Cardinals too. So, but anyway. But Oriole is a sweet little black lab. She's a little peanut. She's only about, I want to say, 42, 43 pounds the most. And she's maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 inches or so at the shoulder, maybe a little taller, but not much. So she's a little she's a little rocket. I mean, she's just a little speed demon here. You know, we move right along. And, you know, she's a high energy. It's really strange. Seeing I would say that it doesn't matter, but I've had black labs and I've had yellow labs. I've had all labs. And I love the other breeds. I love the shepherds especially. I had a collie shepherd as a pet. And my black labs have all been high energy and spunky. And my yellow labs were very laid back and, you know, just they were focused, did their work well, but, you know, that they didn't have that spunky side to them. And Oriole does have that spunky side to her. But she is probably, now I've loved all my dogs and they've all done well for me, but I think she is the best one so far. We just clicked right from day one. I mean, usually it takes, you know, six to 8 months or 10 months to bond, you know, really truly bond. Not with us. Yes. Right from day one, we just hit it off, and she's just a sweetie.
Now, where is the? You know, I never knew where is the your office at, and where do you keep her during the day, Oriole? And where's the
The office is right in the lobby. Basically, it's right on your way to the dining room.
To the left.
As you're heading down from the, it's actually if you're coming like from the student dorms, it would be on your right as you're headed down toward the dining room. But it's by the you have that open area where the fireplace is and all that, and then there's a desk right there. And that's my desk, actually. There's an open window that goes from the lobby into my office. You know, it's a open window
Where did Oriole be at?
She's right there under my desk. She's on a tie down, but it's quite long, so she has a good area to move around in.
Oh, okay, okay, all right, okay. So that's a break. We're coming to you listen to CAGDU about your dog and you. Capital Area Guide Dog Users Inc. They support it. CAGDU is their major sponsor, which we'll be getting other sponsors for CAGDU because we have so interesting guests like Murray. So we will be back on the other side with our special guest after this announcement break.
You are listening to CAGDU about your dog and you. CAGDU is Capital Area Dog Guide Users, and we're located in the nation's capital. Back over to Reverend Radio Ray Razor and our special guest, Mary Manwaring from Seeing Eye.
All righty. Now, Murray, after you shook the dust off of your feet of New England and put them people behind you, did you desire to have? Because I haven't heard you speak of children or husband or nothing like that. So have you had that opportunity or situation that you've been married or have children or any of that type of thing?
No, I dated some in high school, but not a lot. And I had people that were interested in me, and I was interested in them. Again, the way society was, some of the people that I dated, they were interested in me, and their parents said, "You're not dating a blind girl." So, you know, that just didn't work. And then, but no, the Lord just hasn't. I haven't seen the right person yet, I guess. So I've been single, and live, you know, here in an apartment by myself with Oriole, and I'm very independent. We do all of our own, you know, shopping and cooking and cleaning and all that good stuff, and we'll run all of our errands in town, and still involved with the church. Actually, I recently changed churches because the church I was involved in closed. It was a small church.
Wow.
So we moved on to another church, and I haven't quite gotten in. They're begging me to join the choir, and I haven't done it yet, but I've always been involved with worship teams and choirs and stuff, and I never took voice lessons. I was going to do that, and again, my voice teacher just didn't, I don't know if he felt uncomfortable teaching a blind person or what, but he just didn't, didn't think I could do it, and so... Again, you know, if I listen to people, you can't, I wouldn't do it. But there I went in and did, you know, all kinds of concerts, like I said, at nursing homes and prisons and churches and everything.
Right.
It's a good thing I don't listen to people.
Right. Good thing. Now, do you live in Morristown? I mean, you live in the city itself, or where do you live in terms of commuting to work?
I do live right in Morristown, yep.
Okay.
So I usually walk about half to three quarters of an hour before I come to work just to give us exercise because they pick us up right on Maple Avenue. Yep.
Right. Oh, I want to go back to your music ministry because you have had to adapt to a couple of different people and music directors, et cetera, et cetera. How do you read the music? How do you play an instrument or is it all vocal? How do you handle that? And how does the church and your fellow group members handle adapting for you?
They make sure that I have a copy of the songs we're going to do. And some of it I have in Braille. And some of it I have audio files of. And what I do is, well, when I learned to play guitar and clarinet, I was reading Braille music. I learned to read Braille music. And then when I got into choirs and worship team, I memorized the melodies and because I'm a soprano, believe it or not. And you wouldn't think so with such a low voice, but... I would memorize the music and then just read the words. And so that's how I did that. And then with the Braille music, when I was playing guitar, I would read the Braille music and memorize that. I'd take and break it down into so many sections and do it that way, so many measures.
That's interesting.
It's fascinating to me because playing a guitar and reading music, you think of it all as being so visual and not realizing that you can translate it, I guess that's the right word, into Braille and learning it in small segments. That is really interesting and eye-opening. Our experiences, we've had some people who've come on the show and have wanted to sing in the choir, and the choir director or the worship team has not been open to accommodating
ducking them. They've been ducking them. They blindly don't say nothing. They just duck them.
Yeah, I haven't had that experience. I know of friends who have, and I really feel bad for them. But what I did to learn guitar, I had, like I said, one of my friends in church. She was one of our quartet members. She had a series called Mel Bay Series, and he was a classical guitarist, but he taught various styles in his books. And she had a series of them, and I borrowed her books. And boy, I mean, she was really trusting you. But I took these books and I sent them all over the country to various transcriptionists of Braille. Had them all transcribed, got the books back and everything, no problem. And so that's how I learned to read it. I just had all these books that I just had transcribed and learned to read Braille music, and it was fun.
God allows people to serve. Oh, I'm sorry. But God equips us to serve.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms.
I'm sorry. God equips us to serve, and your eyes were not necessary for you to serve in prisons, in churches, and that's just the amazing part of your story for me. It just we don't have to use any excuse not to serve in some way. And that's where the
dogs
to
come in too, because the dogs, my guide dogs, have given me that that encouragement to just, continue and with life and live life. I think I did a video recently and said something to the effect of that my guide dogs have helped me to live life more independently and to enjoy life to the full. And that's exactly it. I mean, I just really, with my dog by my side, I feel like I can do anything.
Wow.
And do anything that God wants me to do, you know.
Yeah. Amen.
Speaking of doing anything, let me ask you this, Murray. Now, all the things you have accomplished, had a lot of confidence in doing and not listening to people telling you can't do it. And so in this period of your life, and you still feisty, it sound like, so is there some things that you looking to do or want to accomplish at this point of your life, or you pretty settled with whatever, which I find that hard to believe. But are there some things arising you looking to achieve?
Just to get back into some of the going to some of the sporting events again and stuff, I miss it. I listen to them on the radio, but it'll be nice to get back to the games and stuff again. I just really, I mean, not that I went to a lot of them, but there's something about going out with the crowd and just cheering for your team and just having fun.
It is.
I miss the Premio sausage that the Jersey Devils offer. I love Premio sausage. That is good stuff.
That is good sausage. Mary, let me ask you.
It is.
You've been at CNI for a long time, and you've probably seen and heard more things than anybody else. Do you have any favorite stories from your work life?
I don't know.
That you can tell on the air.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't know. I don't know. I meet people from all walks of life, and people, as much as we try to educate people about the seeing eye, there is still so much ignorance out there.
Yes.
You know, it's really sad. People still don't realize what goes into the training and how long the training takes and how involved the training is. Because, you know, I get calls from people and, you know, they expect to be able to get guide dogs for their small children. And I'm talking small children, like three or younger even, you know, and it's like, well, or they'll say, well, I got this dog and this dog has grown up with my child. How can I make this dog now her guide dog? Well, it's not that easy, you know. They clearly do not have any idea as to what goes into the training and how involved it is with these dogs.
Now, I know, speaking of training, Murray, since you work at CNI, doing your training, are you totally not working or are you working at all? How that work when you getting a new dog?
They do a home turnover, which is that way I can keep working. So I do like an hour before work and then, you know, an hour either after or right after lunch, you know, and we complete it in 10 days. And so it's really accelerated. And yeah, because they want me to keep working.
Because I know I ain't hear nobody else at that switchboard. But okay, Bert. So we're at the end of our time, and this has been fun. I hope it's been fun to you. The three things we always hope that our guests get out of this is 1, information; 2, inspiration; 3, entertainment. And I think we have been all those 3 things. So, Murray, we thank you very, very much. Anything that you'd like to say as you party in terms of about getting a guide dog, would you suggest people to get a guide dog and why?
I would suggest it. If you like dogs and you want to travel independently, I would definitely suggest it because you got another set of eyes looking out for you, and that's important. And I have had myself a grand old time today. I've really enjoyed it. I thank you so much for inviting me.
And let's see and the people, the power to be, let them know. All right, Murray, take care. And, of course, you will be hearing from me because I do have problems. And a lot of times it's not the dog, so I'll be calling you. So, all right, take care, Murray. God bless you. You've been a great
guest. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.
All right.
All right. So, Ms. Renee. Okay. So, I'm Cheryl. So, Ms. Renee, that wraps up another interesting review. And see that? I've been going back and forth to seeing that all these years Murray's been there because I'm on my 7th dog and I got my first dog in 1971. And Murray's been working there for 35 years. She said she came 2015. So, yeah, so she's been there when I got the last 2 or 3 dogs. Huh?
15 years.
Oh, 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years. You're trying to add some
years
on Mary.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So anyway, at least 2 guide dogs she didn't see me yet. Getting guide dogs is going to CNI or any guide dog school. It really, I don't care how many times you go, the experience is different and not what you expect each time you go, and that's my 7th, as I say. So anyway, we appreciate CNI for all they do, and people have been asking me about, are they totally open? None of the schools are 100%. A lot of them now are doing, I don't want to say watered-down version, but where they usually train anywhere from 8 people, they now train to maybe 2 to every 1 instructor. So just check it out. And again, this is about your dog and you. Get tagged to about your dog and you. And we'll see you in the next couple of weeks. And as I always like to say, hug your honey, but pet your pooch. Reverend Ray.
You have been listening to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You, Capital Area Dog Guide Users, located in the nation's capital. We are heard here every Friday, at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Have a question or a show idea? You can contact us in all the usual ways. Our email is cagdu2020@gmail.com. That's cagdu2020@gmail.com. Or call us at 301-263-7371. That's 301-263-7371. We thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you next week when we will have a different guest, more information on guide dogs and guide dog users. See you here next Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Yes, Reverend Ray.
Before I close, I want to shout out to our number one fan, Miss Sherry Harrison. And I hope she don't follow suit of the number one fan like it was in Misery. Anyway, that's another thing. Okay, Miss Sherry, hello and goodbye.